From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
How many times has someone first described and then brought you to a beautiful landscape or an imposing mansion of a house, and you've ended up saying, "Hey, you never told me the half of it"? Did you know that sentence comes straight out of the Bible? It does, and we're going to tell you where and examine why it was spoken in our message today. But before we get that far, let's settle back and listen to a trio of male voices as they sing Something Beautiful. Years ago, when the Queen of Sheba made the long journey across the desert to visit Israel's King Solomon, her eyes feasted on something beautiful. In Solomon's palace, silver had been relegated to the level of the stones in the streets. It was so plentiful. Everything was gold. Now, Sheba's queen was used to splendour. Her palace was no mean abode, but still she was overwhelmed by everything she saw. Verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 10 records, "There was no more spirit in her." It took her breath away. It completely swept her off her feet. Down in northern Arabia, the Queen of Sheba received news of Solomon's mighty acts and immense wisdom and power. But when she makes her way to Jerusalem and sees the reality herself, although she had heard so much and her expectations had been raised so high, "The half," she says, "was not told me." She cries out in 1 Kings 10, verses 6 and 7, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." We can say the same about that one whom Matthew 12 and the verse 48 identifies as a greater than Solomon, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, we know something of his acts and something of his wisdom towards us, But when we sit down to seriously consider them all, we too must confess, the half has not been told me. I want to consider the acts and wisdom of God in their commencement toward us. And I'm sure we can say the half has not been told us about these. I look back into the dim distance of eternity past, and a doctrine dominates the landscape of God's wise and loving dealings with my soul. That doctrine is election. I was a poor and guilty sinner, cut off from God and holiness, from happiness in heaven, exposed to the sentence of condemnation and deserving nothing other than the depths of hell. And yet, wonder of all wonders, when I was rushing in this condition towards the yawning jaws of a lost eternity, and greedily embracing every chance to add to my sin, when there was no eye to pity me, when there was no arm strong enough to save me, thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty Grace, arrest that man. That Almighty Grace did arrest me, for it was then that the omnipotent arm of the mighty God stretched out, seized and saved me. Now tell me, was this intervention of grace merely the result of some random selection on God's part? Was it some aimless shot in the dark or a kind of spiritual lucky dip, vulgar thought though that is? Or was it a case of the survival of the fittest? Some would come very close to suggesting that, but I have to resist that falsehood and insist that my salvation is the result of a carefully conceived plan in the mind of God that had been drafted there from all eternity. This grand old book, the Bible, directs us back before that time when Christ shed his blood on Calvary, even before the time when Adam and Eve ruined the race of mankind in the Garden of Eden, and before the time when the mountains and the valleys, the seas and the rivers of this universe were put in place, away back to eternity past when the clock of time hadn't begun to tick. Away back then, the Godhead had already drawn up and signed the plan for man's salvation. God the Father designed, God the Son performed, God the Holy Spirit applied. Now, have I any scriptural proof of that? Or, as my critics might allege, is this just a crafty doctrine based on straw men? Well, I return them to Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I return again to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. God hath, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And also to 2 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We were saved, the Bible is saying in all of those passages, according to plan. I don't pretend to understand all of this. I, for one, don't profess to know all that went on between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in that council chamber in eternity past. I'm like the hymn writer Daniel Whittle, at a total loss to explain why the Lord ever chose me out of the millions of men that would walk upon the globe and why he should act in grace towards me. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath been made known, nor why, unworthy of such love, he claimed me for his own. But of this plan of God in election I say, like the Queen of Sheba 3,000 years ago, it was a true report that I heard, and behold, the half was not told me. We have considered the acts and wisdom of God in their commencement towards us. Now we're looking at their compassion towards us. Francis Ridley Havergal exclaimed, "The half has never yet been told of love so full and free. The half has never yet been told, the blood, it cleanseth me." There on Calvary's cross is the supreme expression of the compassion of God towards us. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 10 put it like this, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." When Jesus Christ looked down upon the sinners on earth, he saw not only men and women who were piles of sin, but men and women who were in arms against God, who were trampling on his laws, who were despising his mercy, who were scoffing at his grace. And yet he loved us and came for our salvation. That's love and grace without merit, without limits, without boundaries, without measure, without a rival. Again, I confess I can't understand it. The words of Mary James convey my feeling. How amazing God's compassion, that so vile a worm should prove this stupendous bliss of heaven, this unmeasured wealth of love. Go into the best stocked libraries of the world, take down the weighty volumes that contain the records of ancient through to modern history. Read all about the displays of the most romantic love and of the acts of the most heroic love that have ever distinguished men and women, and I guarantee you this, there's nothing, positively nothing, in all the annals of the past that warrant comparison with the love of Christ. Earth never witnessed the like of it. Is it any wonder that Isaac Watts described it as love so amazing, so divine? The half has not been told me. Consider the acts and wisdom of God in their commencement towards us, in their compassion towards us, and then finally in their consummation towards us. What will all of God's tremendous acts and wisdom result in for us? One word answers that: heaven. Like the Queen of Sheba, the news has come to us from the far country. We have started for it. It's a desert march attended by trials and tears, but we press on. What a day it'll be when we see Jesus and enter the heaven that he's prepared for us. That'll be something beautiful, all right. O Saviour, precious Saviour mine, what will thy presence be? If such a life of joy can crown our walk on earth with thee. Some say that Sheba, where this queen came from, was a province in the northern part of Arabia, a portion of the modern Yemen. Others say it is Ethiopia. In either case, it was a long way from Jerusalem. In fact, Jesus later said in Matthew 12 and verse 42 that the Queen of the South came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She was obviously in earnest as she searched for the truth. I urge you today to earnestly seek to know Jesus Christ. It's essential that you seek Christ for salvation. Then, with satisfaction, with immense joy, you too will cry aloud as you look over his acts and his wisdom toward you as they span all of eternity. Behold, the half was not told me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53, 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53, 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.